The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Episode 157 of the Rise and Shine podcast, and a featured guest this week, media superstar and the host of the Carrie Champion show on Prime Video. The aforementioned Carrie Champion is the featured guest on the Rise and Shine podcast. Carrie is tremendous, and she is excellent on Amazon, and she's fantastic on CNN, and she has a tremendous podcast, Naked with Carrie Champion. And listen, we've wanted to get Carrie Champion on for a while. Huge fan of her work, going back to the ESPN First Take and SportsCenter days. And she is synonymous based upon her fandom and her tweets with Lakers basketball. She loves her Lakers. And we're taping this literally less than 24 hours after the Lakers got bounced and eliminated from the postseason. And I got to tell you, as I bring in our incredible executive producer of the Rise and Shine podcast, the great Bob Stew. Bob, I picked the Lakers to win this series. Lakers were the best team in the NBA since the trade deadline. I don't have any hot take for you or for America or for Carrie Champion. I mean, I thought the Lakers, and I know it's a sweep and it goes in the books as broom time, right? But the Lakers were in all these games. Lakers were strong. Davis played well, especially in game 1, 2, and 3. LeBron pumped in 40 in game 4. You know, the Lakers' defense was the best in the business after the trade deadline. You saw good stuff out of Hachimura. I said the minute the trade deadline was done, they were going to make it to the Western Conference Finals. Bob, they just ran into a better team. Nikola Jokic is a legend. We had Marv Albert on our SiriusXM radio show. That's not a hot take artist. This is not Skip Bayless here. This is Marv Albert commenting on Nikola Jokic. You know, I think Jokic is a combination of Wilt Chamberlain meets Mozart, the way he plays in such an artistic fashion. He had another triple-double against L.A. in the final game. Postseason, averaging 30 points a game, 13 rebounds a game, 10 assists a game, two-time MVP, backed it up, followed it up by being number two in the voting this year. Could have made the case that he was, in fact, the MVP and should have won it three times. Be amazing for the NBA to see our guy Nikola Jokic stamped as a champion. So, to me, the Lakers just ran into a juggernaut with Jokic and Jamal Murray, and well-coached under Mike Malone, and Michael Porter's an excellent role player. Same with Aaron Gordon. So, I can do nothing here but tip the cap to the Nuggets, and I hope Jokic wins the title.
Yeah, I think that's well said, Adam. I mean, the Lakers, if you look at it this way, the Lakers had the lead in the fourth quarter. They either had the lead or were tied in the fourth quarter of the last three games.
That's right.
So they had a chance to win every single one of these games. And in the first game, they were a LeBron three away from tying the game at the end there. So the Lakers were in all these games, but you just said it. I mean, I was watching the Nuggets, and it was truly unbelievable. Whenever they needed a basket, somebody would hit it every single time. I mean, Jamal Murray played out of his mind the entire series, which I think won them the series. If you're looking for that complimentary player, you know, LeBron really needed Anthony Davis to step up more. I thought he had a bad first half, and I thought defensively Anthony Davis had a really good series. He just wasn't Jamal Murray for the Lakers, Adam, and that's what he needed to be. And the Nuggets, just their role players played better than the Lakers' role players. I've been a huge fan of Bruce Brown forever. He was remarkable that series for the Nuggets. Aaron Gordon hitting threes with hands in his face, I did not see that coming. It was huge last night. He made a lot of great plays. And I just thought Mike Malone coached a fantastic series. Anytime the Lakers tried to get the matchup, anytime they tried to change it up, The Nuggets are ready every single time. And a lot of that credit goes to Jokic, too, Adam. He was just so freaking unbelievable. And the way he plays so hard-nosed. I love the way he plays basketball. He was just out-rebounding the Lakers in every single game. He was so great. So I don't think the Lakers should have a ton of regret. This series, I thought, could have went either way, even though it was a sweep. So I agree with you. I don't think Lakers fans should be livid over what happened. It was kind of expected. The Nuggets were the better team. Although a sweep is always disappointing. Don't get me wrong. You never want to get swept by anybody. I think the Lakers, there were a lot of positives they could take away from that series.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd like to see him run it back, you know, make sure that Hachimura's re-signed and make sure at the end of the day that you have the ability to bring back Reeves, who I thought was excellent, see if you could bring back Russell. And I thought this team, after the trade deadline, really gelled. Denver was better, and it's not a hot take, but it's a rightful, simplistic one and an accurate one. And listen, I think the Denver Nuggets are going to win a championship, and I think it would be great for the NBA. And listen, we're taping this on a Tuesday, and I got to tell you, Bob, I'm still exhausted in the most amazing way after Maya's bat mitzvah, which was just incredible over the weekend. And first and foremost, before I get into specifics, great job by you and by Cat Stew making the trip to Maya's service. You know, you got two young kids at home, which is incredible. You had a wedding in Pennsylvania that night, and you were able to make the trip and be at the service, which was just incredible. And Maya was a rock star, and, you know, Katie and I had emotional speeches, and you know, Maya, we talked about, and the rabbi talked about it, even though he evoked his big Red Sox fan, our rabbi, Rabbi Serkman, you know, Dustin Pedroia as an example of Maya having the it factor, which was a big theme of mine during the speech. And
people
booed
Adam. People booed the rabbi.
Did you notice, by the way, we didn't talk about this off air. Did you notice, obviously, we're sitting in the front row of the temple of the synagogue. I turned and caught eyes with you. As the rabbi is talking about Dustin Pedroia, as Maya was getting emotional, talking about, you know, Israel and reading her drash, you know, and he's talking about, you know, the it factor and how special Maya is. Of all the athletes and all the references, it's Dustin Pedroia and the late 2000s Boston Red Sox. I'm looking at Bob, who's a fellow Yankee fan. I'm like, all right, fine. I get it. But really, of all things now, but the rabbi is incredible. Canner, incredible. It was such a meaningful morning. And great job by you coming to the service. It was awesome.
Oh, I appreciate you inviting me, Adam. We had a great time. And listen, it wasn't about me. It was about Maya. She was incredible. Like you said, you're not even lying. She was a rock star. She was so composed and so poised. I think you got a future broadcaster on your hands, Adam. Seriously. Ooh. I think she could do anything, really. But I wouldn't be surprised at all with the way she was up there the entire time. She didn't look nervous for a second, and she was up there at least about an hour and a half, Adam. Not a single ounce of nervousness. I was nervous watching her, so
yeah.
I thought it was incredible. Like I said, I mean, like you said, Adam, I mean, I thought 99% of the ceremony was beautiful. Just everything about it. I love, like, the family connection in the ceremony. I thought that was really beautiful. Like I said, 99% was great. Just, you know, the 1% about Dustin Pedroia. I still can't believe your rabbi got booed.
And he is amazing. He's incredible. If you've ever seen The Curse of the Bambino, there's a priest and a rabbi in that specific HBO documentary. And our rabbi, Rabbi Serkman, who's a diehard, obsessed Boston sports fan, now obviously he's been in New York forever, but he's still a Red Sox fan and a huge Celtics fan and Patriots fan and Bruins fan. And he's in that movie, and he still has that chatter thick accent, even with all the decades he's been in New York. But it was so meaningful, and she wasn't nervous at all and really had great poise and emotion. You missed the party, though. I mean, obviously, the service is most important. You at a wedding. I mean, the DJ, the MC, you know, Maya loves being center stage. The food was great. The drinks were flowing. The hora, you know, up in the chair. You know, I had three friends from my bar mitzvah there, all our friends from town. And, you know, my guy Catalan was there, Andrew Catalan, and my guy Gideon and my agent Maury. And Allison and all of, you know, Katie's Syracuse friends. I mean, it was, and you know, Maya had, you know, 110 kids there because, you know, of course she does. I'm like, and literally two kids came up to me to say goodbye at the end of the night. And a friend of mine was like, do you know? I'm like, I don't have a clue. Don't have absolutely no idea who's saying goodbye. So it was just really wildly entertaining and just an incredible, incredible time. We'll get to the text from Jack Shine later, but Jack Shine sent me a text on Monday saying that Maya's bat mitzvah was the single greatest day of his life. I mean, there was just so much warmth in the room and just an incredible time, incredible, meaningful morning and bat mitzvah. And the party was just incredible and celebrating with so many friends and my parents and Katie's parents and my brother and Katie's sister. I mean, and again, Maya's friends. I mean, they were just dancing the whole night away. I was watching videos with Maya and Katie till about 2 a.m. after the bat mitzvah. I'm like, I don't even know if this, I was at this party. I mean, all these kids going nuts and just the whole thing was perfect. And Katie, you know, the attention to detail that she put into this, it was just incredible on every single level. Just an awesome, awesome day. Featured guest on the Rise and Shine podcast, Carrie Champion from Amazon Prime Video. A phenomenal interview on her Lakers and her career. Carrie Champion right after this.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
NFL fans, right now on the SXM app, hear in-depth coverage of your team with the Believe Podcast Network on SiriusXM. It's all the analysis, all the breakdowns that matter to you, hosted by the players who played for your team and the fans who eat, sleep, and breathe it. 32 diehard fan bases, 32 podcasts. The Believe Podcast Network on SiriusXM. BLEAV. Search Believe in, followed by your team on the SXM app, Pandora, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The featured guest this week on the Rise and Shine podcast, media superstar. She is the host of the Carrie Champion Show on Prime Video, the aforementioned Carrie Champion. Carrie, how are you?
Let me give myself a round of applause. I'm actually not doing too well today. And the timing of this podcast is, I don't know what that means. Maybe it's teaching me how to control my emotions. I'm not quite sure yet. But it's interesting.
Well, I said this to you when you hopped on the Zoom before we started recording. I wanted to try and get you on the podcast for a while. And we literally looked at the Lakers schedule. And, you know, I thought the Lakers were going to beat Denver. And I said after the trade deadline, they're going to at least go to the Western Conference Finals. And all right, we'll get Carrie on, talk about her show, talk about her career, talk about her Lakers. Listen, I still think, and we're recording this less than 24 hours after the Lakers get eliminated, I still think there were a lot of great positives from this season. Now, you're a diehard Laker fan. You have the Laker standard. Your Twitter feed is always a wild ride during a Laker game. What's your instant reaction less than 24 hours after your team gets eliminated?
My instant reaction after the Lakers have been swept by the Denver Nuggets. Well, last night I was really angry because I do believe that I am one of those fans that takes it too seriously. So I'm going to tell you a funny story. I turned the TV off. I didn't want to watch any press. I didn't want to hear what LeBron had to say or what anybody said. And I ordered some McDonald's French fries and a vanilla shake. I then took the fries and then I dipped them in the shake to just make life better, to drown my sorrows, to really feel like I was one with the Lakers in the loss. I remember, and I've been a Laker fan since forever. I grew up in LA, and I remember, may he rest in peace, Kobe Bryant said he would tell his daughters if they ever wanted to see him cry, watch when the Lakers lost to Boston, and he'd go back and he would play the loss in the finals. And I was just like, I am one with the Lakers. So once I was able to get my wits about me, they were just too good. They're better. They had more. They were just too good. Jokic is special. And I'm really happy that we were able to see him on the stage, in this big, bright stage, and to see what Denver has been able to put together. I think they'll win it all. Of course, I want to say that because they swept the Lakers. I was shocked that they actually swept the Lakers. I thought the Lakers could at least get to game seven or two more games, I believed. But at the end of the day, a team that I felt was a group of misfit bandits that just started to really get cohesive with one another, did something great, did something good. But we don't play for good and great. We play for excellent. And so it was great that they were able to get to the Western Conference Finals, because just, 2 months ago, they were three games under 500, right? Approximately.
Yeah.
And to see what LeBron was able to do each series really wore him out. And we have been saying, people who follow the Lakers have been saying, we needed Anthony Davis to really be the number one if they were to do anything. And I mean, this is all me rationally speaking, but it still hurts. It's still like, God, that sucks. Cause we don't play for Western Conference Finals. We play to win it all. And I mean, I don't want a trophy for participating.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And look, Jokic is phenomenal, best player in the NBA. And the Nuggets, I'm with you, are going to win a championship. And there's nothing like McDonald's fries and dipping it in the shake. So that was a great job by you doing that. And I'd like to see the Lakers, this group, return. I'd like to see them run it back. And I know it's not going to be exact, to starting five or top 10 players. But I think this team, this group, is capable eventually of winning a championship. You agree?
I think Rui Hachimura, I think Austin Reeves are no-brainers. I'm not sold on D'Angelo Russell. I haven't ever been sold on D'Angelo Russell. I think I just couldn't get a full game out of him. I couldn't get a full game of consistency. And to me, that's what we were watching, right? A team that hadn't played together and the lack thereof consistency. And we ran into a team that was able to be consistent no matter what. We'd have a run, they'd have a run, we'd have a run, they'd have a run. So there are a couple of players that I'd remove. I really like Darvin Ham's adjustments. I think that's what he was learning in real time. Conversely to, we're watching somebody like Joe Mazzulla and we're like, okay, this kid needs some help. He's looking at them like, do you have anything? You know what I mean? And they're looking at him like, do you have anything? So I think that I think we'll probably try to trade for someone who's really someone who's special. I don't necessarily, and this is blasphemous for me to say, I don't need AD. I don't want it.
Wow. Elaborate on that.
I don't want it. I don't want it. Everyone is telling me that I am wrong. I talked to Mike Trudell, who's covered the Lakers for two decades perhaps. And he's like, he's tired of everyone being so hard on AD. He's the best defensively. He's been doing something special. And I don't disagree. I think he had that the first game one of the conference finals, that 40-point game, he did all he could do. He just ran into the best of the best in Jokic. I think there he had key moments, but he was so inconsistent, and we don't pay for inconsistency. You make too much money to be inconsistent, especially in these moments. This is where you make your bread. That's like me. Like I have a job to do. And so I think there are too many games where we've seen him not show up. There are too many games where we can say he wasn't mentally there and he checked out. There are too many games where we can say LeBron had to take over because he saw that AD could not. And for me, I don't necessarily know if he's a worthy number two. That's my opinion. And I'm tired of people being mad at me for saying that about AD, but that's just how I feel.
Bring it every game. So there's obviously, and you live and die every single play, there's validity to what you're saying. Is there another player that you'd like to see them go after? Are you of the assumption that LeBron is going to come back? Because I am, even with the retirement conversation.
Yeah.
He's going to come back, right, Carrie?
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to come back, but he's going to come back with some very specific stipulations. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he loves AD, but he's a businessman and he knows that physically he cannot do it. I don't even think his feet were healthy. He came back earlier than he was supposed to from feet surgery, from the LeBron James of feet, if you will. You don't really even know who that guy is or what was really wrong with his feet. He wore every bit of 20 years on his body in that last game. We could see him walking like he couldn't walk anymore. And I'm like, this is too much. I was just like, he can't do this. And here you have a kid who's like got arguably, you know, what is AD, 32, 31, I think. Yeah. I'm not quite for sure. And he's not it. And so maybe it's, look, and then people start, you know, talking about Kyrie at the game or Trae Young at the game. Kyrie's very mercurial, and perhaps the best time he has ever had in his career is when he played with LeBron. And I don't necessarily know if LeBron is the muse that gets him right. I don't know. That's a gamble. That's a question mark. I wouldn't kick him out of bed. I'd be like, okay, I'll deal with it for now. You know what I mean? I'll deal with him for now. I'm like, we'll see what happens. What can I get out of this? You know, but you know, Trae Young, perhaps. I mean, we need a playmaker. We need somebody who was like, I'm going to go get you 40 and you don't have to run a play for him. I'm just going to get you 30 real quick. Let me just get you. What do you need real quick? Like Lonnie Walker had that moment, right? D'Angelo Russell had a couple of those moments. Austin Reeves has those moments, but he's just too little. Like we literally saw how little he was. We ran against some bigs and he couldn't even, I mean, I was like, stop going to the hole. Cause they're just going to take it right out of your hands. It was like taking candy from a kid. So I feel like we just need somebody who could just get us 40 or 30, no matter what the play is. And I don't necessarily know if we have that.
Listen, I'm with you on Trae Young. I think he'd be great. Kyrie would scare the hell out of me. I mean, I couldn't trust him at all based upon how it ended in Cleveland and Boston and Brooklyn and Dallas not even making the playoffs. But I hear you. There is at least, you know, the LeBron factor there. I'm not kicking him out of bed is, you know, it's too much of a risk, though, for me. I wouldn't bring in Kyrie. But Carrie, listen.
Yeah, no one.
Go ahead.
No, I was like, yeah, no one wants to take that risk in bed. I get it.
Yeah, nobody. You can't do that. Now, listening to you talk basketball, it to me is part of the segue into why I think your show on Prime Video is so fantastic. Because all those years, and you were fantastic on ESPN, First Take, SportsCenter, I always felt for you there was an opportunity for more, whether it's sports commentary, interviews, real issues. I feel like you have a great opportunity to do that, and that pours through on your show on Prime Video. Is that a fair take?
It's fair. I love the show. I think they kind of give you the keys to the castle and say, you know what, go ahead and decorate it the way you want. And I love that. I get 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday, 12 to 2, to talk to so many different people, to cover so many different topics. And because at Amazon Prime Video, they are still figuring out the way of the world in terms of how they want to do live television, there's just a great opportunity to explore. And with traditional linear television, many times you don't get that opportunity to see what works and what doesn't work. We've had great guests. We've been getting really amazing guests, and it gives me an opportunity to sit and ask real questions and have real conversations. I think the idea of being able to have an honest conversation is exciting, but it's also scary for a lot of entities because they don't know what that all entails. And so now why we are building, I think this is the time to do it so we can see what works. And I see, so I mean, it's like a breakfast menu. Like, what do you want to eat? You want a breakfast burrito? You want a bagel? You want some lox? You know, you want some cream cheese? What do you need?
I'd like it all.
That is, yeah, right. Give it to me all. And I think that's what they're able to offer on Sports Talk. It's really interesting. All the different outlets and the different shows that we have that cover everything. Like our morning show will cover more of the international sports. I cover more of the traditional sports. I bring on our traditional faces, but this is an opportunity for people to really explain as opposed to just having, you know, 45 seconds to respond.
You're an incredible interviewer, and I think one of your strengths when you interview, you listen. You really do an unbelievable job listening to whoever you're talking to. You're curious on what they have to say. So far on your show, do you have a favorite interview?
Oh, that's so good. That's a good one. You want to hear something crazy? I do try to listen. It's hard to actively listen. You know that, right? Yeah. We do it for a living. It is, especially with all the distractions. And I can't say that for 2 hours a day, every day, I'm always 100% locked in, but I try to be the most times for most part of the interview, for most of the show rather. But if I had to say, I can give you a couple. J.R. Smith, I really enjoy talking to him. And while I didn't have a long period of time to talk to him, I really did because the evolution, I'm really interested in the evolution of people. I'm really interested in the other side of the person that we've seen for so long. And those are the interesting characters that I'd like to get to, like the nuance, the storylines. Bubba Wallace, NASCAR, very interesting, honest, aware, available, complex, complicated. And then in terms of guests that we've had on the show that have brought different perspectives that I hadn't necessarily considered, and I'm going down a list of everyone because this was just new. PK Subban just came on recently.
I love that. I don't cover hockey.
Thank you. I don't cover hockey much. And being a Black person, being a Black woman in sports, being a Black person in this world, I know that we don't, and I'm not speaking for the culture as an entirety, but hockey is foreign to us. It's just not the sport we know. The ice is not where we are, and it's very expensive, much like tennis is, or much like golf is, other sports that I love. And to listen to him tell his story and really understand how he sees his life as one of a few Black hockey players, how he views his existence in the sport and what the sport has given to him and his obligation to give back in other ways and obligation in a good way is very interesting. And the feedback that I get is, especially, you know, people who follow me, I didn't know much about him. Now, what does he do? And it's interesting. These are people who cover the sports, who watch the sports, not cover the sport, but who watch the sports, who consider themselves sports enthusiasts. And they don't know his contribution or what he did. They may know he was engaged to Lindsey Vonn, right? Because that's popular, but they don't know much about who he is and what makes him tick. And he's a very, very interesting character to me. So I like interesting characters. Those would be the most because they're just not so obvious. It's not an obvious interview. It's not an obvious slam dunk.
And PK gives back and you give back. And, you know, I think what you've done for a long time with Brown Girls Dream is just incredible on so many different levels because of the nature of it, Carrie. It's a mentorship program. And, you know, there are so many girls who grow up looking up to someone like you who want to be just like you. And I just think that that's so beautiful and special and important on so many different levels. Why is that so important to you to give back in that fashion?
Because I just didn't have it when I was coming up. I remember I would, you know, and I will not name names, but I would try to interact with women that were Black and brown women in the business to, you know, and I wanted them to be honest and tell me the truth. And I think it's just a different time then. Mentoring wasn't as big. And I think that a lot of women were the first in the business and they were just trying to keep their head above water. I also think that when you are marginalized and speaking out or being honest, there's a level of fear that comes with that, because you feel like you might lose something. And we've seen people lose really big things when they're very honest about their experience and how they show up in society, or how they, the relationship they have, how their existence, like my existence, for some people is a problem. Just being me is a problem. And working in certain arenas, just being yourself is a problem. And so I wanted to be able to create an outlet where I could be very honest and where I could tell them the truth. And it's not for everybody. If people get it, they get it, but it's not for everybody. And I've been able to help so many girls, like even if I just help one, that makes me feel better. And then I understand, like, that is where I find my joy, is really truly giving back and connecting these young ladies to their dreams, because we all dream and we just need one person to believe. If I didn't have parents who believed, I probably would not have done what I'm doing. If I didn't have, you know, for me at ESPN, it was Jerry Madelon who was like, ah, well, why not? Why don't you try this show called First Take? You know, and if it wasn't for the producer on First Take at the time who believed in me, yeah, why not? Why not? Or for that matter, Skip and Stephen A, they didn't have to go along, but they did. And I feel like everybody needs like one yes in different stages of their lives. And so that's what like I do with Brown Girls Dream. I try to give them that yes. So that encourages them. And then they turn around and give back.
I love that. And the podcast you have, Naked with Carrie Champion, is, I mean, it's a great title and it catches everyone's attention.
We're fully clothed, though.
For the record, and listening to it, because I always enjoy what you have to say, I just feel like when it's naked, fully clothed, there's an openness, there's a purity, there's a real talk. Is that a fair way to frame it?
Yeah, no, I'm as honest as I can get. This is a season in my life where I don't know if different people experience different seasons, and it's scary, but like, I just say it like it is. I talk about what's good, what's bad, the insecurity of it all, what I feel, what I want, my frustrations. But I just do it in a way to let, I hope that everyone knows on the outside looking in that it's not gravy. You know, no one's posting on Instagram their worst day or how they felt like they may have been underpaid or how they're being ignored or life's not fair. It's rare that because no one wants to see that. I don't go to Instagram to see that a lot. But sometimes the power of social media can be great, and the power of podcasting can be great, because you remove the pretense of a camera and feeling like you have to go to commercial break and you got to get in and you got to get out. You know what I mean? Today was today was a tough day for me. We covered the Vinicius Jr. story, and I felt frustrated. I was frustrated that this is happening. And I've been to Valencia. I've traveled to Valencia. And when I travel, I am aware of the fact that people do feel a certain way towards a black or brown person. What I saw in his face, or what I heard, and this is, I know you know the soccer story, but what I felt was his hopelessness and his frustration. And he's asking for help and he's doing all the right things. And it still is the same end result. And it's incredibly defeating when all you want to do is do what you love, when all I want to do is tell stories. And it's incredibly defeating when parameters are put on the stories that I can tell, or the questions that I can ask, or when I can't share my experience, because you hope, right? Sports is supposed to mirror back what's happening in society. And it does it very well. And that was also the case with, you know, Vinny in La Liga and Real Madrid. Sports will mirror back the society in which we live in and what's happening in our world, for better and for worse. And some days, if not sometimes, seasons, we can't be as honest as we want to be. And that's incredibly frustrating.
Carrie, final question for you. I have a 7th grade daughter and I have a 9th grade daughter, both interested in broadcast journalism. I went to Syracuse, want them to go to Syracuse. My oldest, we took a family trip to LA a few years ago. She wants to go to UCLA like no other. I mean, she is just like California dreaming, do a summer program in a few years. So you need to tell me so I can explain it to her. She was so excited you were coming on the show. The aura and mystique of what makes UCLA, UCLA.
Oh my gosh, it's such a great question. Can I say something? This is like the fourth time I've talked to a colleague in the world, our world, whose daughter wants to go to UCLA. It is a real thing, like a real, real thing. And so I literally think what it is that it is a campus that is Very diverse, huge in itself in Los Angeles, but there are a number of influencers, people that are of note that are going there, TikTok superstars. I think that might be the biggest thing. I think the gymnasts that come out of UCLA, that program is paid, has gotten a lot of people a lot of attention. And it's just also the idea of being able to go to school in a place where the beach is, you know, 5 minutes away and the mountains are 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
Like it's a lifestyle. When I was on campus, I'm from LA. I never went back home. When I stayed on campus, my mom was like, do you want to come home this weekend? I'm like, what for? I am living my life. So the beauty of going to UCLA, your daughter, if in fact she gets in, and I hope she does.
That's a whole other question. Yeah, she's a great student. Right? But UCLA is she's a fantastic student as a freshman, but getting it to UCLA nowadays is a whole different world.
It's a whole different world. It really is so difficult. It's so difficult. Well, truth be told, it's a quarter system. I didn't get in. I got in on a wait and see program. They were like, you're enrolled, but we can't take you in until the second quarter. So you'll come on campus and you'll do GEs and then you'll go to the second quarter. Right. And so I was just like, good grief. It was such a tough ass, but it's a beautiful place. It's magical. I see why it allures. I mean, so many young women want to do it. I can see the attraction.
Now, I'm still trying to convince her to go to Syracuse, but she wants Los Angeles, California, Syracuse and UCLA.
Syracuse and snow, sunny California. Not.
Carrie, you're the best. This was awesome. I appreciate the time. Continued success. Keep doing what you're doing and influencing so many people. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you. You were nothing but a professional and so generous. I appreciate you. Best to you as well.
Thanks, Carrie.
It's time for texts from Jack Shine.
All right, Bob Stu, how's this as a text from Jack Shine on Sunday nights after the Miami Heats and the Boston Celtics game, where Miami took a 3-0 lead and Boston absolutely spit up all over itself. Ready? Here it is, Jack Shine. Spo, amazing. Butler, amazing. Patty Riley, amazing. That fraud Joe Mazzulla should resign after the game. Tatum is a disaster. They should throw his ass out of Beantown. That is the text from Jack Shine as the Boston Celtics, with a gutless puke of a performance, Bob Stu, go down 0-3. And we're taping this, and there's still another game? Listen. There's no chance the Boston Celtics even bother to come back in this series. This thing was over when it started. I wanted them the hell off my TV during the Philadelphia series. I mean, they're going to have to blow this entire thing up.
It's kind of funny, Adam. For a minute there, I thought you were reading one of my tweets. The text from Jack Shine sounds just like me. I tweeted during game 3, I don't want to hear Jason Tatum mentioned in the same sentence as the word star ever again. So Jack Shine and I, we're right there, Adam. Usually him and I, we definitely differ in terms of our texts and tweets, but him and I, we're sharing a brain on this one.
Rise and Shine is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and you want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating, leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.